American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you the internet for Monday, I guess it would be August 1st, 2008. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sitrep, not the GLOG WOGL Sitrep, on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are taking a stand too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Radio Red Mercury, and as well, we broadcast usually on Thursdays about 7-ish at Node Archer's Grid 137-102-9999. A very good place to hang out and just generally be cool. And let's not forget that this show is broadcast in the New Wasteland, which if you fire up your Google Maps, you'll see you find it at 340319.41 North, 117-3729.50 West. Let's get into some feedback, because I got a bunch of stuff here. Hey, man! Which is interesting. I mean, I suppose it's the M on the end of it, so it's sort of a abbreviation. Hey, man, look, man, come down here. Hey, man, I'm headed for DEF CON 16 this year. Good luck with that. And I don't know if you remember my story from last time I went. It was pretty nutty. Anyway, I'm going to need a digital baptism for an extra layer of security. The last time I was there was when I came to meet you guys. It was a blast. When I got home, there were interrogations, etc. It was quite awkward. I wrote to you about it. You may remember the story. I was in a dark place and I encoded the image into an image of a boat. That I don't actually remember. I would have remembered that, but I don't know if I got that one. Anyhow, bud, I plan to use a new name for Anon movements in any social interactions while at the con, future cons with any of my friends while I'm there. Something else that I've been doing is to get back through all of the SK radio shows third time and jotting down all the memorable moments. I plan to make something together after I get through them all. Dude, you guys used to be insane! Yeah, well, you know, I think we're probably still insane. We're just, you know, kind of a different sort of caliber of insane. We're trying to help people is what we're trying to do. Thanks for everything, and whatever your name was before, it is now Wirefly. Like Firefly, only it's a Wirefly. Another piece of mail. Hey, man! That's no shit. Both of these guys address me as, hey, man! Hey, man! I hate to be a nag. Oh, God. But I notice that your live journal page isn't usually updated with the current newsreel on Monday mornings, making it harder to follow along with the stories if you listen at 9 a.m. I know, you probably don't want to hear it, but I have to ask you if you could make that happen. Thanks for all your hard work. Sends him my thanks, too. And keep on doing what you're doing, man, because we need it now more than ever. Peace in the Middle East. Name withheld so he doesn't get flamed. Yeah, I'll do what I can, you know. Generally, what happens is that I have a straight job because not a lot of people donate. Some people do donate, and those people who do donate are monthly donators, and, you know, it's one of those kind of things where I look at those people and go, wow, you guys all get cookies for the rest of the known universe's lifetime. I mean, you guys rule. Thank you so much. I wish there was more people out there, you know, who are like you. But unfortunately, there's not. So if you did want to get along with and do the donation thing, you can do that. I'll be talking about that later in the show, but sorry about the whole not getting up on time thing. Hey, man, doing the best we can over here, but, you know. Sort yourself out. Got it out. That's the sort yourself out is the advice column part of the show. Dear Sean, I hope you have the time to read this letter, because it's really long, but I would appreciate it. Let's start by saying a good friend of mine is one of the best goalies in this province, it is being scouted out by the NHL. Some asshole kids who were rejected by the scouting group then decided to cause some issues. The group of 10 were allowed in, were individually kidnapped by the group of 15 rejected, thrown into a car, beaten and tortured over a game. Holy fuck, I nearly lost my socks. The parents are trying to get a legal action, but other kids' parents are very wealthy and have got one of the best criminal defense lawyers in Canada. What would you recommend my friend do in this situation? And do you think there's anything I could do as a friend? Haven't been able to talk a lot due to some issues with him, but I hope your words of wisdom could help. Thanks, Sean. Thanks a lot for reading this. I hope you're just as disgusted as me. Name withheld, of course. Well, you know, this is a sticky one, because anything you do here is vengeance, right? Now, when you say these guys were beaten and tortured, were they permanently damaged? Because anything you do here is just going to draw on and on and on and on and on. Now, if these guys wound up getting scouted by the NHL, you know, realistically, I would suggest moving away from whatever asshole town you come from and just never looking back. You're not going to get anywhere by seeking vengeance on these people. You know, really. I mean, yes, okay. I mean, is it right? No, of course it's not right. But, you know, you got to pick your battles here. If you don't think you're going to win, then what's the point? What is the point? If you don't think you're going to come out of this thing on top, then what's the point? You know, what are you going to do? You have to kind of move forwards with your life. And if you've already kind of, you know, sometimes it's just best to walk away, take the high road. You know, look at people who you respect, like, I don't know, people who are big in the peace movement. You know, Gandhi and whatnot. What would Gandhi do? Gandhi'd be like, whatever, screw you guys. I'm going to go make a lot of money in the NHL. It sucks. Feels bad. 5 years from now, it'll still suck. It'll still feel bad. But at least you'll be on the north end of it. I would say in a situation like this, go forwards. That's the idea. It's best to go forwards. If you go forwards, you will be rewarded in time. Because, well, as you've said, your buddy there, he's already been scouted by the NHL. And as for you, you're not involved in this situation. You know, you're upset because your buddy got tortured. It's upsetting. Is he currently underdressed? No, he's not. He basically got picked up and shit kicked because a lot of people didn't like him. So what do? Do you seek retribution for that? No. No, I'd move past that. Unless you know, they're currently holding your buddy and you have to extract him, what's the point? You know, you don't bomb people out of vengeance. That's a bad idea. So I'm just saying, you know, it's unfortunate and crappy, but rather than harboring, you know, ill feelings due to the past, why don't you look towards the bright future you got ahead of you, put this behind you, and move forwards. That would be my advice to you. On to the news! In the all-seeing, watching eye of Sauron news, the problem with these video surveillance cameras is that usually there are too many of them for one security staffer to monitor, right? You got 12 million cameras. You can't sit there, you know, watching, doing the Matrix banking monitor thing. In a typical large enterprise setup, a single officer might be monitoring dozens or even hundreds of cameras simultaneously, making it impossible to immediately recognize suspicious activity. To be honest, it's sheer luck if sheer security officer spots something in an environment like that, says John Frazzini, former U.S. Secret Service agent and IT security consultant. If you get a security manager alone behind closed doors, a lot of them laugh about what a waste of money it is. Frazzini recently signed on to serve as the president of a new company, Behavioral Recognition Systems, or BRS Labs for short, that aims to stop the waste of, you know, this officer's time. BRS Labs, while launching both its business and its technology today, has received 16 patents. So this company, this BRS Labs, has received 16 patents on new video surveillance application that can convert video image into machine-readable language and analyze them for anomalies that suggest suspicious behavior in the camera's field of view. So what does that mean? That means you've got a robot watching to see and analyzing your movements is what that is. Unlike current video surveillance gear, which requires a human to monitor it, or complex programming that can't adapt to new images, BRS Lab software can learn the behavior of objects, images, in a camera's field of view, Frazzini says. It can establish norms for activity for each camera, then alert security officers when the camera registers for something abnormal in its fields of view. It works a lot like behavioral software, and many IT people use in their networks. I'm going to call bullshit on that, but it has absolutely nothing to do with behavioral software in the IT networks. It establishes a baseline of activity and then sends alerts when there are anomalies. The big difference is, until now, there's no way to do this kind of analysis on video images. Until now! But because of the data collected by the cameras wasn't machine-readable, we had to invent a way to do that! Well, the camera's a machine, and realistically, I mean, you can get software that just recognizes pixels. There's lots of friend or foe systems out there that would be able to do this kind of stuff. This isn't really, you know, you're not reinventing anything. But I understand, you know, you're trying to, you know, sell your stock and your snake oil and, you know, basically enslave the human race. The BRS Lab software can establish a baseline in anywhere from 30 minutes to several hours, depending on how much activity the camera recognizes and how regular the patterns of behavior are. And it can be totally defeated with a $2 dollar store laser pointer. Oh, wait, no, we can't. If you're monitoring busy highway traffic, when it comes and goes frequently on a regular basis, the software learns very quickly. If you're monitoring an outdoor fence line where a camera sees only three or four actions all day, it will take longer. Once the software is operational, it can recognize up to 300 objects and establish a baseline of activity. The camera in a wooded area where few humans ever go, it will alert officers when it registers a human on the screen. If it's monitoring a high fence line, it will send an alert when someone jumps the fence. Unless, of course, you know the area is watched by cameras, and then you just sort of release a bunch of rabbits or some dogs or cats or pigeons or something, and then you do this for like a week beforehand, so the guys watching the cameras are going to get real pissed off. They keep getting alerts from, you know, so you can get around this thing. The great thing about it is you don't need a human to monitor the camera at all. The system can recognize behavior on its own, and thanks to new UAV technology and automated response, we can just, we can have them on machines because they got those automated turrets. Don't forget in Taiwan, right? They got those telepresence turrets that they have set up where they can actually shoot people from cameras. So realistically, it's probably like a small downloadable patch to make this friend or foe recognition system hook straight up to the telepresence automated guns. And hey, how do you spell war crime? You know what I mean? Like, this is great. And realistically, if there's a software glitch, right? Let's say they put this thing along the Mexican border, right? So you get a bunch of people jumping over the border there. They're illegal aliens, absolutely. Yes, those filthy, horrible, horrible people trying to come to this country to make a better life for themselves, just like the Founding Fathers. I understand there's issues involved with it. Now is not then, blah, blah, blah. But does that mean that we should open up on them with fully automatic machine guns? Because let's say that happens and the machines go off. Who goes to jail? Who goes to jail? There's a glitch for this. Telepresence guns, using this software, kick in, blow the living rat shit out of people. Who goes to jail? Is the guy who built the turret? No, he's not guilty. Is it the guy who, installed the turret? No? No, that's not it. Was the security officer? No, there is no security officer. Well, I guess that's just unfortunate then. And then this whole thing turns into this big legal loop where, you know, you never get a chance to actually... Oh my God, Baldy's here. Holy crap, Baldy made it in front of the show. I'm always happy when Baldy made it here, because none of this would be here if it wasn't for Baldy. But anyway, this is the problem. I have a big issue with robots looking after people that are armed. That's where I'm going with this. You know, I'm having a big problem with the whole automated gun-running robots. That's the big thing there, you know. I mean, I don't really want to get shot by anybody. Robots, people... saucer jockeys, I don't really care, okay, but, dude, like, give me a break, you know, there's gotta be a better way around this than to just automate the entire process. Maybe we should, you know, look at some kind of a way to, I don't know, maybe employ more security people, and that way we got a little bit more of a margin where people go, you know, I mean, this is a Mexican family with a bunch of kids and shit. Maybe we shouldn't really, you know, turn on the miniguns just yet. You know, I don't really want to spend 6,000 rounds to kill a family of four. I'm just saying, you know. But on to some more positive news, because anything in space news is positive. Now, you know who I've got a boner for? I love this guy. I'm loving this guy. I mean... Who have I got the boner for, of course, but this guy with Spaceship One. What the fuck's his name? This guy is so crazy. So crazy. In Mojave, California, after years of secretive construction, Scale Composites and Virgin Galactic presented the first stage of their commercial launch platform, the White Knight 2. Today at the Mojave Air and Spaceport. Richard Branson. You know, Richard Branson, the guy looks like Kenny Rogers. And, I mean, he's so unbelievably rich, and he's probably an absolute jerk to talk to. I mean, this guy is probably, like, you know, he probably thinks that, you know, his shit does not stink at all. Okay, this guy probably just, you know. But the reason why, because if you go to this link and you check out his White Knight 2, this mothership that he built, let me get through the story. Sir Richard Branson explains his motive for granting Virgin Galactic I just wanted to do it because I wanted to get ripped on a plane and nail stewardesses in space. That's not what he said. He said, seeing the planet from out there surrounded by an incredibly thin layer of atmosphere helps one wake up to the fragility of the small proportions of the planet's mass that we inhabit, the importance of protecting the Earth. Absolutely! Couldn't agree more. Most astronauts, when they come back down, they get heavily involved in the environmental movement. Why is that? Because we have a lot of things on this planet that other people might want, like the whole planet. Has anybody else found water? Water anywhere? No, I guess not. So, you know, you wonder why UFOs might be here. That might be it. After scale composites put the rocket plane Spaceship One, SS-1, into suborbital spaceflight twice in 2004, thus winning the Ansari X Prize, Virgin Galactic placed an order for 12, I'll take fucking 12 of those, similar spacecraft capable of carrying 6 passengers and 2 crew members into space. I would steal that. Before the ships can get to space, however, they need to lift up, and that's what the White Knight 2 will provide. Oh, rats! You can't just take off and go. The original White Knight carried SS-1 to the outer atmosphere before releasing it at 48,000 feet. The SS-1 then fired its booster and flew to an altitude of over 110,000 meters, 69 miles. 69! Well past the Kármán line, which is commonly used to define the edge of space. White Knight 2 is a dual-hull, quad-engine aircraft, roughly 3 times larger than the original White Knight. WK-2 employs a differential tail construction using a cruciform instead of a WK's T-style. The engines and cockpit are also located in different areas compared to the original White Knight. WK-2 is the world's first all-composite, full-sized aircraft. Everything apart from the engines and landing gear is constructed from ultra-lightweight composite materials. Even newly patented flight control cables are made from carbon fiber. One of WK-2's hulls is a replica of the SS-2 cabin. It will allow the prospective SS2 travels to train for the journey into space. Currently, over 270 people have either put a deposit down or paid the full $200,000 fare for space travel above SS2. Hey, that's not bad. $200K to get up there? I mean, hey, that's all right. When you build something on a computer screen, when you build in a room that's barely larger than it, you don't really see it until you put it outside and you walk around it. That's actually when you start to feel it's a conventional airplane. Bert Rutan explains in the construction process. This Bert Rutan, I guess he's probably like one of these heavy, you know, math brain guys. The unveiling of WK-2 comes a year and 2 after the fatal explosion that killed 3 scaled composite employees. Shortly after one of Richard Branson's close friends, Steve Fawcett, went missing during a small plane flight. The second WK-2, or possibly SS-2, will be named the Spirit of Steve Fawcett in his memory. Although Spaceship 2 is under development and construction, Virgin Galactic expects to fly its first commercial spaceflight somewhere between 2009 and 2011. Virgin Galactic has not set a deadline for scale composite delivery for SS-2, giving scale ample time to manufacture craft where it will be safe. Safety first. We're not in a race. We will only launch when scale and Virgin feel it is safe to do so, Virgin Galactic said in a statement. Virgin Galactic and scaled composites are ushering a new era of transportation, travel, and tourism. Currently, entry into the space is only provided by government institutions. Soon, anyone with a few $100,000 lying around will be able to leave your atmosphere, if only for a few minutes. Now, that's not the really sexy part of this story. Now, this Sir Richard Branson guy, he's knighted and everything, looks like Kenny Rogers, sporting a wicked beard, walks around drinking a martini glass all the time. He's like the Hugh Hefner of our time. You know, you really got to give it to the guy. You do. I mean, yeah, even if the guy, I'm sure if you talk to the guy, I shouldn't even really say that. I mean, I know that if I had, like, that kind of money, I'd probably be the biggest dick ever, which, you know, wouldn't really change that much, really. I suppose I'd have a bigger posse. You know, I'm looking around in Second Life right now. I've got, like, you know, 10, 12 people in here. They're all getting on the spaceship, for sure, and nobody's boarding my ship. You know, it's weapons-free, boys, down in the hold. You know, I mean, shit, you know, you guys sort it out down there, and you want to send over your alien boarding party, well, you know, you better bring a good supply of body bags, because, you know, most of our cooking staff will probably kick your ass. But anyway, you know, the thing that gets me about Branson, though, the thing that just makes me go, man, you know, you're all right. You know, the thing that really makes me just love this guy, apart from the bitchin' beard, apart from the fact he's got mega hot stewardess, apart from the fact he walked around with a martini glass, never mind any of that, he put fan art on the size of his spaceship. He's got, like, a chick on the size of the spaceship. He's got, like, this girl with this astronaut helmet. She's all, like, it's total fan art. Like, if you look at size, you're like, what the hell? He's got this, like, rock chick on this. He's like, ah! It's awesome. It's so wicked. I just, I dig it, you know? I mean, shit, because why not, eh? Why not? Sweet. You know, got to give it to Richard Branson. Are you doing anything with it? No, if you can build a better spaceship, please do. Because you know what? More people in space. And as well, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of space. Realistically, if we, it's like what they said in Babylon 5, which if you haven't seen Babylon 5, it would be a good time to go get that show. The reason why you want to go check out Babylon 5 is because there's a great scene in there where the guy's talking about, you know, if we don't go to space, if we don't get out there, if we don't progress to the stars, our whole human history doesn't mean shit. Marilyn Monroe, music, your favorite bands, rant media, everything we've ever done doesn't mean a thing. Because if something happens, we're just extinguished and the light goes out on humanity forever. You know what I mean? It's a pretty interesting thing. Now, on to some afternow news and waste gas news. Now, I talk about things in afternow, which, you know, they're educated guesses, which are going towards a certain direction. And waste gas news. After years of false starts, new industry is selling motor fuel made from waste. It's getting a big push in the United States with the first commercial sales possible within months. Many companies have announced plans to build plants that would take in material like wood chips, garbage, and crop waste and turn out motor fuels. About 28 small plants are in advanced planning, under construction, or in a handful of cases already up and running in test mode for decades. Scientists have known it was possible to convert waste to fuel. But in an era of cheap oil, it made little sense. With now oil trading at around $125 a barrel and gasoline above $4 a gallon, the potential economics of a waste-to-fuel industry have shifted radically, setting off a frenzy to be the first to market. I think American innovation is going to come up with a solution, said Prabhakar Nair, research chief for UOP, a company working on the problem. Success is far from assured, however. Some of the latest announcements come from small companies whose dreams may be bigger than their bank accounts. When they are counting on billions in taxpayer subsidies, big technological hurdles remain. Even if they can be solved, no one is sure what unintended consequences will emerge or what it will really cost to produce this type of fuel. That's right. You never know when these mutant gas, you know, fuel things will just come in and you know, destroy us all. You know, it's, unintended consequences. Unintended consequences. Dude, I mean, come on. Give me a break. You know, give me a break. Do you really think that, you know, I'm probably more in favor of drilling, like not drilling for gas, because you know what your consequences are there, and you're already throwing garbage away anyhow. So, you know, like, why bother changing it so that you're, like, why not benefit from your garbage? You know, Back to the Future much? I guess people are weird. You know, they don't want to do that. They think that, you know, the oil thing, I think this entire oil thing may be fabricated. You know, it's funny how when you stop watching television, which I did back in, 10 years ago now, you start to see cycles. I mean, because I've been doing the show now for a long, 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 long time. And you start to see cycles. You start to see the same kind of stories and the same emotional plays go over and over and over again. Now, the interesting thing I notice about politics, especially politics in the United States, is that a guy will come up with an idea, right? You'll get, like, McCain will come up with an idea, or Obama will come up with an idea. And then, do they attack the idea? No, they don't. They attack the person, which is really weird. I've never really understood that. You know, that's like, hey, guys, I built a spaceship, and it can go to the moon, and it runs on walnuts. You know, like, seriously. And then, you know, the people who don't like it will be like, yeah, man, but, you know, you downloaded some music, and I don't like what you like, and you got weird religious practices, and, you know, what? Dude, like, let's look at the ideas. Let's look at the concepts and stop attacking people. When you get people who sit there and say shit like, well, you know, Reverend Al Sharpton, there's an example. Reverend Al Sharpton, I think that's his name, anyway, he backed the play of this chick who said she was raped by a bunch of guys. Turns out she wasn't, and he wore it. Now, this Al Sharpton guy, I mean, he plays the race card nonstop. That's what he's about. And I don't agree with what he does. So, I mean, I'm not on Al Sharpton's side or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, they attack him because of that. People make mistakes. You got to bear in mind people are human, right? We have to be aware that people are going to make mistakes. You know, that's just the way things are. Life is like that. If you want, like, the Messiah to show up, guess what, man? You're going to be waiting a while, okay? It's not going to happen. So rather than, you know, we need to find reasons to get on the same side and stop trying to attack each other about ideas that are good ideas. You know, there's good ideas. Like, well, I think everybody agrees on the same ideas. Everybody wants world peace. Okay? Despite how crazy, unless you're like completely, you know, unless you're quote unquote the enemy, unless you're quote unquote, you know, one of these guys who's like, no, we don't want peace. We want, you know, Sharia law. We want, you know, total domination of the world. We want slaves. We want, you know, robotic overlord masters, whatever the hell it is. You can't, you know, you have to try to look at this and go, attack the ideas, not the people. That's where I'm going with this. Okay, that's where I'm going with this. Attack the ideas, not the people. Because as far as politics goes, that's all they ever do. They just attack people constantly. And they use such high school tactics, too, which really boggles my mind. You know, really, it does. And this is why guys like Noam Chomsky and stuff like that are so successful. Because the guy isn't a political major. He's a linguistics major. So if your linguistic ninjutsu is at a point where you can just, you know, say or do whatever you want, you're gold. You're gold, baby. You can do whatever you please. So you're good to go. You know, it's really, really weird. I don't really understand it. But let's try to stay positive with some of our news here. Let's try to stay positive with the news. In other news, we got some flying car news. And who doesn't like flying car news? A prototype of the Terra Fugia Transition. Terra Fugia. Terra Fugia. That's the worst name for a flying car ever. A folded wing, road drivable light aeroplane, perhaps the vehicle closest to would-be flying car, was revealed to the general public at an air show in America the other day. Designers say they're on track for first flights and road safety tests before the end of the year. Oh, so it hasn't flown yet! Taking driving to a whole new level. Completion for the transition proof of concept is a significant milestone of the development of the first practical rotable aircraft, said Carl Dietrich, CEO and CTO of Terra Fugia Inc., announcing the machine's debut at the Air Venture Oshkosh 2008, which, if you're like a plane dude, if you're into the flying thing, Oshkosh is where it's at. That's like the super mega sexy, you know, gun show for plane people. As an aircraft in the transition as an ordinary small single-engine plane designed to fit to the new U.S. category, light sport aircraft. A license to pilot a light sport plane is easier to get than a normal private pilot's license, and the red tape associated with running such a machine is thinner. Which, is that a good thing? You know, I would like to think that maybe we shouldn't have, you know, stuff falling out of the sky. Just sort of an idea. Small private planes, of course, aren't flying cars. They need a lot of room to take off and land and make too much noise while doing so to be tolerated in built-up areas. Well, you know, whatever. A normal private pilot can't acquire or keep the instrument flying skills that would allow operations in bad weather or heavy-used airspace. Even if they could, current air traffic systems could never cope with the planes. The same density as roads can accept cars, and there are safety rules about single engines over urban areas. So true science fiction flying car isn't achievable yet, but according to the Terra Fugia engineers, with the advent of light sport category, it is feasible for a small plane to also be a road car. A production transition, they say, will be the size to fit in a normal parking space with its wings folded, and it will be certified road legal by the National Highways and Transportation Safety Administration. It will even run on super unleaded. Thus, you could drive to shops, work, school, etc. on the ground as you would today. But if there's a long journey ahead and your weather is within your piloting abilities, more options open up. You can drive to the transition to anywhere it's legal to take off, and any small aerodrome, and even a decently sized bit of private road where the owner is happy and it's up and away. You may not be able to avoid local congestion on daily commute, but at least there's no need to sit in motorway traffic for hours on the weekend. Then you land on the same kind of strip near your destination as you can find, fold on the wings, and drive the rest of the way. Should bad weather set in, you simply head home on the ground. No need for an instrumentation license, hire cars, tie downs, or hangar space. It's an attractive concept, and the transition could be yours, at least if you're an American, for around, da-da-da-da, how much is this bad boy? It's $148,000. Deliveries from next year, though all planned production through quarter 2, 2010, were booked up long ago, according to Terra Fugia. This tends to support the firm's belief that a large number of qualified private pilots out there ready to be able to take a good market for transitions. You know, I don't know if I'd buy this thing on beta. And looking at the car planey thing, I think that's pretty cool. But I would have to say that, you know, I'd kind of want to wait for that to be out of beta. You know, and further to that, now, if it's just a road car, I'm not that interested. You make that thing into a 4x4 or like a dune buggy that can drive over uneven terrain. Like, if it's something that can, you know, maybe take off from a field or something. Now, that now we're cooking with gas. I'll take it. And there'll be lots of guys who can, you know, get that shit going on. But I'm just saying, you know, that's pretty sexy. Now, we got some other beta kit here. Now, what? Now everything we've had here, now you can either go to space for 6 seconds or you can get a flying car. Duh! You know, like, which one are you going to do? I think I'll take the flying car. Thanks for calling. But now this is something you can buy right now on NCIX. You can get this. I got a local Langley branch that just about bought one. They're out of stock. It's $160 for a peripheral. Well, what am I talking about? Some cyberpunk kit. We're talking about a neural interface kit. Yes, it's true. The OCZ Nia is a very unique input device and possibly the first true brain-computer interface to hit the retail market. However, the Nia isn't a replacement for traditional input methods. It is merely a powerful supplement. Everyone in Second Life, pay attention. Whether your input device of choice is a standard keyboard, a mouse, and or gamepad, and or joystick, the NIA will give you a lot of extra flexibility. Not only will you be able to control numerous commands with your minds, face muscles, and eyes, you could also benefit from the response time advantage your head has over your limbs. This could mean a 100 millisecond boost in response time, which can make the difference in a tense game. While we spend most of our time testing the NIA with fast-paced first-person shooter games, where the response time is of the utmost importance, it can be just as useful in other genres. In real-time strategy, you can use the NIA to bind build orders and unit commands. With an RPG, you can finally launch magic abilities the way they are meant to be cast with your mind. The Nia is certainly not limited to games either. Highly versatile configuration utility and driver software allow the Nia to be used in any environment, including the Windows desktop. The Nia can become your center for your experience or could easily act like a third hand. It's up to you. Well, hello, neural interface. Unfortunately, the Nia isn't without its caveats. Before you can enjoy the unique gaming experience provided by the Nia, you need to slog through a day upon day of training to build up your skill with this device. Yes, nothing worthwhile comes free, but no matter what, I guarantee you the learning curve is going to be less than, say, Second Life. If you're able to play Second Life, you could pretty much do anything. You could play Longbow if you can do Second Life. So I'm just saying, like, so what? You got to put a little work into it. Hello, brain interface, thank you for calling. Thankfully, training off involves nothing more than playing games. This is definitely the hardest game control to master on any platform. The need to calibrate before each session is also a bit of a drag. However, if you persist, you'll be rewarded with a truly unique experience. How many people can claim they won a game of Pong without using their hands or feet? All of the R&D technology went into the Nia does not come cheap. A retail, cheap is relative, okay? It's cheaper than a flying car, okay? A retail OCZ Nia currently costs $147.99. That's cheap. That's, like, disgustingly cheap. While it isn't prohibitively expensive or definitely a high-end for an input device, you get your money's worth for the most part, and our only complaint is the poor build quality and the rubber headband. Well, excuse me while we just build that into a hat. Walk out, okay? However, if you want to experience a brain-computer interface, the Nia is probably your only shot, at least for the time being. Now, it's all about the configuration. This is something which you can configure commands to. So you're really limited only by your imagination with a piece of kit like this. You want to, like, what if you used your brain, like, applying it to Second Life? Because, I mean, we're broadcasting the show live in Second Life. What if you just had it hooked up? Now, I know you can get at least 3 commands out of this thing. So let's say you make it fly and stop fly. Okay, how about that? So you could just start flying upon brain command. Or you can answer chat windows or respond to things. I mean, you're not going to be able to type with this thing. But if you can turn on and off flying, move left and right or up and down, I mean, if you get those 3 accesses with just your mind, cross that with like a VFX 3D or one of the new X viewers or something like that. Dude, are you kidding me? You tie that in with like head tracking and you are no longer there. You're no longer there, man. I mean, this is a really, really wild experience. I think this is a fantastic thing. It is in beta. I think it's great. And I'm looking forward to more tech going along these lines, but it's definitely important. that the WOGs get a hold of this stuff first so that we can run hacks on it, we can put it online so people can understand how to use this technology to our disadvantage, because if you do not master the technology, you can rest assured that that technology will master you. And that is precisely what they're doing with that machines watching people with those somehow automated surveillance systems. Scary, scary stuff. So, do you think that's hot? I think it's monster truck hot. I think that's like probably one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time. But, you know, hey. Now, on that automated surveillance thing, this is another one of the things about the whole, if you don't master technology, it will master you thing. Tucked away in a 1,200-page bill now in Congress is a small paragraph that could lead distance education institutions to require spy cameras in their students' home. Did you hear about this thing? It sounds Orwellian, but the paragraph, part of a legislation renewing the Higher Education Act, is all but assured of becoming law by the new fall. No one in Congress objects to it. The paragraph is actually about clamping down on cheating. It says the institution that offers an online program must prove that an enrolled student is the same person who does the work. Already, the language is spurring some colleges to try technologies that would authenticate online test takers by reading their fingerprints, watching them via web cameras, or recording their keystrokes. Some colleges claim there are advantages for students. The devices allow them to take tests anytime, anywhere. Many students must now travel to distant locations so a proctor can watch them take exams on paper. But some college officials are wary of technologies, noting they are run by third-party vendors that may not safeguard students' privacy. Among the information the vendors collect are students' fingerprints and possibly even images from inside their homes. This is taking a step into the students' private life, said Rhonda Epper, co-executive director of the Colorado Community College Online. I don't know if we want to extend our presence that far. Well, hey, let's hear it for common sense. It's... I mean, you know, generally, I don't know. I can see what they're saying here with this, but there's got to be a better way to do it. You know, I don't think we should put cameras in people's homes to watch them. That's how it starts, you know? The officials also want flexibility to comply with the proposed law. They worry that the government will force them to use a particular method that could be too expensive or would emphasize exams over other assessments. They also complain that the provision implies cheating is more of a problem among students online than among students in the classroom. And realistically, and it goes on, they got biometrics in here. They got a lot of stuff going on here, which is, you know, kind of an interesting thing. So, I don't know, you know, I mean, people say, well, if we can't prevent cheating, well, you know what, if people cheat, okay, in an online school, eventually that shows, that catches up, okay, because they don't know what they're doing. And the people who hire them will say, where'd you get to do your degree? Oh, I got it from homeschooling. Oh, yeah? Yeah, we hired 5 guys that say they got their degree through homeschooling. And you know what? None of them knew shit anyway. But, I mean, that's not really much of a threat, because most people who come out of college, university, really don't know shit anyway either. Anybody who's been to work in the real world knows that, in all honesty, it's really like once you all the ticket does, all your degree does is give you a piece of paper that tells your employer that I can learn stuff and I can stick with something for 4 years. You know what I mean? This is it. This is all we got. You know, that's what the paper says, because no matter what you learn, you know, in school, no matter what your degree is in, unless you like took something like medicine or maybe robotics or something like that, even then you're gonna have to constantly update, constantly learn, you're gonna have to constantly carry on so that you can be, you know, current. So realistically, you know, I don't know if, what's the risk versus reward here? Do we risk losing our privacy and our rights to privacy just so a few people can take online tests and be watched through a fuzzy little camera that anybody who's even seen the most basic spy movie could probably, like, you know, get past? I mean, how hard is it to fake that signal? You know, how hard is it really? The resolution on those things are just terrible. Okay, so come on. Give me a break. There's got to be a better way to do this than to put cameras in students' homes and stare at them while they're doing what the hell ever, you know? And I don't know about you, but that is the last place I want to look, is what people are doing in front of their computers, especially in college dorms. Oh my God, kill me now. In emo news, this was sent in by Druid Y. Simmeru. You knew this one was coming. You know, Paladin sent in that surveillance news, by the way, Element C sent in that Cyberpunk kit on the neural interface. I've been giving credit out for the name. Sorry about that, guys. I suck. But you knew this story was coming. And that's right. There's an area, I think it's in Russia now. Hang on, let me scroll back down to it. There, where are we at? Oh, yeah. Druid Y. Simaru says, a new Russian law. Now, you've heard about this. A new Russian law could make being an emo kid illegal in Eastern European countries. Legislation is currently being formulated in Russia to heavily regulate emo websites and ban emo and goth dress styles in schools and government buildings. This is single-handedly the stupidest thing I've ever heard. New laws are apparently being driven by fears that these dangerous teen trends encourage depression and suicide. So, yeah! Yeah, that'll solve it. Let's make the symptom illegal rather than the cause. You know? That makes sense. The legislation was presented last month in a hearing held by State Duma, where critics claimed that the negative emo culture encourages antisocial behavior and glorifies suicide. I put it to you that most of all culture is negative and encourages antisocial behavior and probably glorifies suicide. Are you kidding me? More things have been invented in the last 50 years than in the history of the world. Kids have got to keep up with stuff at a pace today that is out of this world, man. Kids are, we're not that far from being monkeys, okay? We're a bunch of aquatic monkeys that are terrified all the time. We're trying constantly to not be monkeys. It's getting crazy, okay? It's getting crazy. And as we are going faster and faster and faster and faster, the meat isn't wanting to catch up. I mean, you take a baby. What are these kids? They're in Montessori school, pre-Montessori schools. I mean, come on. You look at China and Japan. The pressure they put on these kids is un-freaking-believable. That is unbelievable, the amount of pressure that these kids are under. And is it any wonder that Japan has, like, the highest suicide rate in the world, where they got a forest for it. People huck themselves off of cliffs all the time. It's terrifying to me that, you know, people would get so wrapped up in their own software inside their head that just be like, that's it, man. I'm doing myself in. And that's been a big thing about my entire rant career, is that I've always said that. I'm like, man, if you get to that point where you're just like, dude, that's it. I'm sticking a gun in my mouth. Dude, like, no. You know, sit back and go, wait, I got a gun. That means that I can probably get out of any situation that I'm currently in and, you know, run for it. If you're going to go. Now, that's a great thing about suicide, you know? There's so many different ways to do it. You could smoke. That's a good way to do it. You could, creative ways to commit suicide. Crazy glue your hands upside down to your sides of your head and put short piece of wire and a long piece of rope, jump off an overpass so it looks like you're, you know, anyway. I'm just saying that there's probably better things you could do than kill yourself, okay? I mean, there's always options. There are options, okay? And when people forget that there are options, that there is stuff that, you know, you can do to get past this stuff, but banning emo and banning music, guys, it's not going to work. This is not the first time they tried this, okay? You know, this is not the first time they're going to go with this. We're going to see this again and again and again. Now, of course, now what they're going to do is, back in the day, they used to have the back and control center, and they'd have, well, I mean, which I think is still operational. And you've got all these different institutions that would train people. This is back in the 80s and the 90s. But now, no. We have the new usherance of pharma-fascism. And pharma-fascism makes it so that if you're antisocial, well, hell, we'll give you pills. You know, we'll drug you out, and then that way you'll be able to, you know, function in our society as long as you keep up with your prescription subscription and can function within society. And if you can't, well, hey, we got pills for that, you know? And that's what freaks me out. And don't worry, because, you know, the machines are watching, filled with machines of love and grace. I think that this is possible. I think that a good future is there, but we need to get more people in power with money who aren't evil. And the problem is that generally being good doesn't profit that much. Really, it really doesn't. Being an evil prick, you make a lot more money, and money enables you to do more stuff. I met a really cool priest one time, and he said, you know, if you want to know how God feels about money, look at who he gives it to. You know, which I thought was pretty fair. Because, you know, there's so many people out there who just, you know, they're loaded, but all they care about, like, what do people with power want? More power. You know, you got to think, you know any really rich people, like, really, I'm talking not rich, like, I'm a very wealthy man myself, But I measure my wealth in different ways than your average cat. You know what I mean? Like, I think of myself as being pretty well respected. I got an email inbox full of people all over the planet saying thank you and you rule every day. So, you know, that's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, so Gandhi didn't have that. I don't think Gandhi got a single email. Granted, I'm sure he wasn't alive when email was happening, but you see what I'm saying. So, I just think that, you know, if we could get more people with better ideas out in power, and even if they are, like Bill Gates, okay? Everybody rips on Bill. We all hate Bill, okay? Now, the thing is with Bill, though, is that Bill Gates was directly opposed to working with the military. Microsoft did not build weapons. Didn't do that. So, you know, I mean, you can't, Motorola did. Motorola used its chips and landmines. You know what I mean? So there's lots of stuff. You can't win for losing. No matter how many times you try to do the right thing, you're always going to find people who are going to throw rocks and be like, oh, no, you suck, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I don't know. It'd be just better if we could get a bit more people in power with a bit more cash. Which, you know, brings me back to the donations thing. Cash. I hate cash. I don't hate cash per se, but I hate having to need cash. You know what I mean? Like, if I could just be, like, super cool, like, cooler than Henry Rollins, you know, cooler than Hunter S. Thompson, if I could be so cool, so unbelievably cool, that people would just give me whatever I wanted. They say, what do you want it for? And I tell them, and they'd be like, wow, that's really cool. And then they just give it to me because it's so cool. You know what I mean? That would be ideal. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen. So there's got to be some kind of a way that we can make money. So the recent one that I'm working on right now is in order to, you know, be awesome, because you got to be awesome. You can't make money in crappy ways. Like, I wouldn't want to make money by, say, sending spam. That's crap. Who wants to make money doing that? And I could make money by, you know, being a hooker. Well, let's be real. No, I couldn't. I could make money by, you know, doing a bunch of stuff. You know, but I don't really want to do that. So, because you're never really going to make enough, and you wind up selling your soul along the way. So, I don't know. I think that the coolest way I can think of right now is to pick up gold. Gold is worth a lot of money, and apparently there's been a lot of gold thrown into the sea over the years. So, cross that with some of my scuba diving skills, some of my salvaging abilities I've been thinking about, if I could get my ass down there, you know, maybe pick up a submarine or something, I don't know. Something like that. Seemed to work for those guys at Odyssey Marine Space, or Odyssey Exploration. I love those guys. They're like Blackwater of the Sea. They went down there, found a shipwreck, and then Spain tried to sue them. Everybody's after them, and they're running around the oceans with a hold full of gold, man. Rock on, baby. Those people are awesome. So, I don't know. If you've got any ideas on how I can make me a bunch of money so that we can build, you know, because what would I do with it? What would I do with the money? Seriously. Okay, Sean? I'm a multimillionaire. I listen to Newsreel because I think you're a clown. You know, I've got $400 billion. I'll give you $10 million. Why not? It's pocket change to me. What are you going to do with that $10 million if you give me a good idea? Well, to be honest with you, I'm a big believer in... I like the idea of building something somewhere. A lot of people send me emails saying, Sean, why don't we build like some kind of a camp or something like that? And I think it's possible. I think that, you know, if you could go somewhere in the world where there's maybe... a government that isn't so great, or perhaps a government that doesn't care, like Somalia or Vietnam or something like that. Then you just build kind of a resort or something like that that people could come and go. You could use it as a place where you could do training. People would sign up, come there for 5 years. You kid them out, train them up, trade them up. So people have trades and stuff. I mean, that'd be pretty slick. Yeah, there's certain advantages to moving into things like missile silos and crap like that. But realistically, I mean, what are you going to do in there? You know, you're going to run around underground, you can take a nuke strike, but who wants to survive a nuke strike? Really? I mean, honest to God. So, I don't know. It's an idea. I'd like to get some feedback on this. If you've got any ideas about this, or you just think I'm full of shit, give me an email. Sean_, what am I talking about? NEWSREAL@RandRadio.com. Now, in robot takeover news, better get through this, I'm Sean along here. Sane Trainer. A robot that enjoys being cuddled and stroked has gone on display at London Science Museum. The Heart Robot could be among the first robots to signify a new era of emotional machines used for medical treatment and enjoyment. According to one of its new investors. Now, if you don't think this kind of stuff is going to be leading to sex bots, you got another thing coming. They go on talking about how these robots are programmed to respond and stuff like that. And Japan is big on these things. Japan likes it because they got an aging population they don't know what to do with. So it's a pretty, pretty trippy situation for them. In Samus news, for those of you who used to play Rifts. Now, this is cool. Another flying car thing. This was sent in by the Hatter of Madness. The big story on Gadget Beat this week is undoubtedly the Kiwi ducted fan jetpack now on show at the AirVenture Expo in Wisconsin. The Martin jetpack, decades in development by the New Zealand garage inventor Wog Glenn Martin, has suddenly achieved worldwide fame, largely due to the fact the New York Times scribe had a bit of a hover about in it this week. So, has the Martin jetpack got anything that others haven't, or is this just another summer news drought jetpack story? But another impractical curiosity rather than anything new. After all, the limits of jetpacks are well exposed, basically one which can actually be lifted by a normal human that won't scorch the legs of its posterior is usually plagued by a very brief endurance, typically less than a minute's flight. Even this generation requires the use of exotic, dangerous hydrogen peroxide fuel. How does Martin Job stack up? At first sight, not too badly. It runs on ordinary two-stroke juice and carries enough for half an hour. Half an hour of flight. Thank you for calling. 30 minutes of flight. Touch it. Anybody got 30 minutes of flight? No? Bueller? Bueller? No. Sit down. The thrusters don't emit super hot exhaust. There's a backup fast deploying parachute in case of trouble. Shit, I'll take 12. Martin has achieved all this by eschewing the usual jetpack propulsion systems, which are generally either actual mini turbojets with exhaust heat issues or hydrogen peroxide rocklets with sharply limited fuel endurance. Instead, Martin has chosen to use ducted fans, essentially enclosed helicopter rotors, driven by normal piston engine. The Martin jetpack is much more of a strap-on helicopter. In fact, a dry weight of 250 pounds, it's not a strap-on copter that you carry about. Screw you, hippie! Give me a 250-pound backpack that lets me fly, and I will carry that shit. And further to that, if you've been following Newsreel, we've got, you know, those handy-dandy exoskeletons now that do this. I mean, this is some sexy, sexy kit. You have to admire Martin's persistence and ingenuity, but then there's nothing new about this ducted fan two-stroke engine. The regularly to climate regarding personal flying machines remains unfriendly, with the safety bar set much higher than it is for cars or motorbikes. Perhaps unreasonably so, but that is a fact. This guy's such a clown who's writing this. There are no doubt wealthy thrill seekers who would pay $100,000 for a smallish, not vastly useful personal flying machine. Not vastly useful personal flying machine. Is there a personal flying machine that's got a half an hour flight time that is not personally useful? I'm sorry, this thing is this. You put this here's a concept for you. You take the half an hour flight time, you know, flying jetpack thing, you add another 50 pounds of fuel, so you got 300 pounds now, okay? And then you put it on one of these exoskeleton systems, all right? And then we put armor over the whole thing. You get Sarcos with this guy. They put composite armor over it. And what do you got? You got something from the main Rift source book called a Samass Flying Power Armor. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. And these limited writers, oh, no, it's stupid. It's not stupid. It's not stupid. You know? It's just like what they say, man. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Terminator from the Warhammer 40K Space Marine world. Oh, yeah, baby! Seriously. Come on, it's not going to be that hard. Added to this, speaking of the Emperor from Warhammer 40K, in Methuselah News, the prevailing theory of aging challenged by Stanford University Medical School researchers. The discovery contradicts the prevailing theory that aging is a buildup of tissue damage similar to rust. The Stanford findings suggest that specific genetic instructions drive the process. If they are right, science might one day find some ways of switching the signals off and halting or even reversing aging. Reversing aging. We were really surprised, said Stuart Kim, who's a senior author of the research. Klim's lab examined regulation of aging in C. elegans millimeter-long nematode worm, whose simple body number of genes make it a useful tool for biologists. The worms age rapidly. Their maximum lifespan is about 2 weeks. Sucks to be a nematode worm. That's all I got to say about that, you know. But hey, they're working on stuff to try to reverse the aging. And you know that you're going to get guys cranking out the hardcore, you know, money so they don't have to die. Because you can't take it with you. You know what I mean? So are they going to be not wanting to leave? You betcha. They'll do whatever it takes to do that. today's Daily Hack is the Farm Fountain. Farm Fountain is a system for growing edible and ornamental fish plants in a constructed indoor ecosystem. Based on the concept of aquaponics, this hanging garden fountain is a useful, simple palm pump along with gravity flow to nutrients from fish waste through the plant roots. So basically you use fish and plants and you create yourself an indoor botanical garden that you can eat the fish and the plants. Sounds pretty wog to me. Put that inside your geodesic dome and you're good to go. Very, very cool. Some Recomedia this week from Misanthropic Gods, is Cyberpunk Radio, another free radio station. Very, very cool stuff. Welcome to the pre-dystopic world of corporate globalization. Fear not! Even as privatization of our essential resources, water, food, and energy proceed at ever-accelerating pace, a new underground is taking shape. This underground, like the traditional cyberpunk characters of previous centuries, fiction is made up of wired punks jacked in 24/7 into the internets. The boundaries between reality and illusion are becoming more and more indistinguishable. Cyberpunk Radio is your connection to the pulse of this underground. We give you a glimpse behind the curtain. Listening to Cyberpunk Radio will enable you to deny the mainstream media access to your brainstem, at least briefly. If somebody would please drop these guys a line, I haven't had a chance to. And there's nothing worse than saying, hey, you know, you want to carry my show when you're trying to pitch it. But hey, if a couple people were to go over there and say, you know, you should run this guy's stuff. He wants everybody to carry it. Maybe even give him a show, because I'm plugging them anyway. I think they're fantastic. I was looking at their stuff, listening to their stuff, and it's very, very cool. Another Recomedia, manybooks.net. Browse through the most popular title, recommendations, and recent reviews from our visitors. Perhaps you'll find something interesting in the special collections. There are 21,264 ebooks available here, and they're all for free. Very, very cool. And Randy Pausch's Randy Pausch was a lecturer sent in by DC. Dude died from cancer. And it's like they say in Fight Club, when you're dying, people listen to you. And this guy always used to do like the last lecture. But it's very, very cool. You want to check this thing out. So check that out. There's a link. It's 104 minute long. It's like a movie. Definitely something you want to watch. That's all I'll say on that. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the show, please do distribute it or talk to people you think might be able to distribute it or get it on the air somehow. Hey, we're all about that. And if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website. Or send millions of dollars to Rand Media Studio, Box 18121, 1215C, 563 Delta BC, Canada, V4M2M4. Or you can always buy my book, Scab Wings of Abaddon. It's available on Amazon.com. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at redradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance, because that is the music of the future. And I'm going to fade out now with another tune. I'm not too sure what I'm going to put in there yet, but it'll be a gooder. You can bank on that. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, hey, that's what server said. End of line.
The name of this song is Uncle Sam Goddamn. It's a show tune, but the show ain't been written for it yet. We gonna see if Tony Jerome and the band can maybe work this shit out for me. Straighten me out right quick. I like it so far, man. Yeah. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and proud. Let's do the shit real. Come on now. Smoke and mirrors, stripes and stars. Stoning for the cross in the name of God. Bloodshed, genocide, rape and fraud. Written to the pages of the law, good law. The cold continent latchkey child ran away one day and started acting foul. King of where the wild things are, daddy's proud. Cause the Roman Empire done passed it down. Imported and tortured a workforce and never healed the wounds or shook the curse off. Now the grown-up Goliath nation holding open auditions for the part of David. Can you feel? Nothing can save you. You question the reign, you get rushed in and chained up.
fist raised, but I must be insane, cause I can't figure a single goddamn way to change. But welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. All must bow to the fat and lazy. The fuck you obey me, or why do they hate me? Who me? Only two generations away from the world's most despicable slavery trade. Pioneered so many ways to degrade a human being that it can't be changed to this day. Legacy so ingrained in the way that we think we no longer need chains to be slaves. Lord, it's a shameful display. The overseers even got raped along the way. Cause the children can't escape from the pain, and they born with the poisonous hatred in their veins. Try and separate a man from his soul, you only strengthen him and lose your own. But shoot that fucker if you walk near the throne. Remind him that this is my home. Now I'm gone. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred. Hold up, give me one right here. Hold up. You don't give money to the bums on the corner with a sign bleeding from their gums. Talking about you don't support a crackhead. What you think happens to the money from your taxes? Shit, the government's the addict. With $1 billion a week, kill brown people habit. And even if you ain't on the front line, when Master yell crunch time, you right back at it. Man, look at how you hustling backwards. At the end of the year, add up what they subtracted. 3 out of 12 months, your salary pay for that madness. Man, that's savage. What's left? Get a big ass plasma to see where they made Dan Rather point the damn camera. Only approved questions get answered. Now stand your ass up for that national anthem. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is.